Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Malaysia is famous for Kuala Lumpur, the Petronas Towers, and its amazing food and beaches. But football is also growing in Malaysia. A football club from the southern region of Johor has become the most successful team from Southeast Asia. Its name is Johor DT. They recently won their 10th Malaysian League title in a row. What's it like to play for Malaysia's biggest club? And how did Johor DT become so successful? I spoke with the team captain, the club CEO, and a fan to find out. My name is Sam Verraute and welcome to the 433 Podcast. Jordi Amat played as a centre-back for clubs such as Espanyol and Swansea City in Europe. He's 31 years old now and an international player for Indonesia through his family's Indonesian heritage. Jordi made the move to Malaysia last year to become Johor DT's captain. Here's Jordi Amat on his move to Malaysia's biggest football club.
Well, it's been amazing, to be honest. I think it was the perfect timing to join GDT. Let's say that is the best team in Southeast Asia. So I'm very proud to be part of this this family, to join a team that they have been dominating and winning for the last 10 years. It's a big pleasure and also a challenge as well to keep winning and to try to give my best and my experience to the club.
Yes.
So it's nice.
I understand, man. And of course, you were, I think, in Belgium last before you moved over to Malaysia. And what was the thought process you had before making the move?
Well, we were like in the middle of the process for the passport for Indonesia. So then, GDT came to Barcelona. I remember that we had a great meeting saying about the very good things that GDT has, and that was a big opportunity as well for me to keep growing, no, and to keep enjoying football and trying to win as well as many titles as we can. And for me was a very special moment, because to have the possibility to join a great team like Johor, you know, coming to Asia as well for the national team with Indonesia. So it was kind of a mix, you know, because the rivalry with the two countries. But in the end, very happy with Indonesia. They really like me, and I think we get on very well. And also my time here in Johor, it's really good. We had an amazing record this season. We are now playing Champions League, so we are in the middle of the competition. So looking forward to keep going and to keep keep giving our best for the club.
Yeah, Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your Indonesian heritage. So you are, of course, born in Catalonia, in Spain, but you have Indonesian heritage as well. Can you tell me a little bit about your heritage and how you came to be an international player for Indonesia?
Yes, my grandmother was born in Makassar. And then my great-grandfather, he was a Raja of the island of Siau. It's a small island very close to Philippines. And yeah, we always knew that we had this opportunity to join the Indonesia, no? First as a citizen and then as a football player. But playing in Europe, playing in Spain was kind of a tough decision, you know, to move all the way to other part of the world. But the last, 2-3 years, we were like thinking and saying, why not? We can explore this part of the world. Asia is growing up so fast, and I think in the right way. So, we had the opportunity to join the national team. Indonesia was like very open from the start to do all the process. And I was like very happy, you know, to have the possibility to defend such a big country as Indonesia, that is more than 280 million people. Trying to grow as well with Indonesia, you know, I think they have a big, big potential to do great things. And now we have the possibility to also perform well in the Asian Cup in January. Also, we have these qualifiers for the World Cup. So it's a very good moment for us. And I hope that goes well.
Yes, yes, exactly. So to someone who's never been to Johor, how would you describe the club?
Well, you can imagine, I don't know, one of the best clubs in Europe. Mm. So you are in the middle of Malaysia. Johor is it's a very nice place because we are also very close to Singapore. So this this helps a lot. We have a lot of communities from different countries, you know, Chinese, India, Malaysia, of course, and then people from Singapore, people from Indonesia. So it's quite international and very open. So it's it was a surprise for me when I arrived in a very good way. So my family as well, we get comfortable here. My wife just opened a cafe here as well. So imagine how good we are here, and we are trying to enjoy our time here in Asia.
So, last question: what are your personal goals for your time in Malaysia? What do you want to achieve?
Well, I love to win. I race as a kid with this winning mentality in Espanol, winning leagues, tournaments. So now for my personal objectives, I will say to keep winning leagues, as many trophies as I can. And also with Indonesia as well, let's try to win a tournament for the country and do also a good performance, you know, in Asian Cup, that I think is going to be a very big moment for us. And let's hope that also I can grow with Asia as well, you know, so trying to help GDT, try to help Indonesia. And yeah, if it's like this, I will be a happy man.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Alright, so that's the player's perspective. Now let's hear from the CEO of the club, Alistair Edwards. Johor DT is led by the Crown Prince of the Johor region, a man named TMJ. Alistair Edwards was recruited by TMJ to help build up the club. Here's Alistair Edwards on his journey with Johor DT.
Malaysian football was in a bit of a doldrums at the time. A good standard, but it wasn't run as well as the European clubs and the Japanese clubs and things like that. So we started collaborations, firstly with Borussia Dortmund. So Borussia Dortmund was a collaboration, and they helped us set up the initial parts of the academy. TMJ has an amazing amount of contacts throughout the football world. Peter Lim, who was the owner of Valencia at the time and still is, he had a collaboration with him after the Borussia Dortmund, and that's where we started to implement the philosophy in terms of way that we wanted to play. And what we had to do there is we had to start an academy, because when TMJ took over, there was one club, just one club, three foreigners, and just the usual thing. And now if you fast forward, we've got, you know, 57 foreign staff. We've got an academy from under 12s all the way through to the first team. We've got a feeder team that is JDT2. So that was the what you need to do is build it from the bottom up, and that's what we did. We changed the way we call it the JDT way. It's the way that we as a club, and TMJ particularly as a club, he wants the team to play. And to enable us to do that, we had to then recruit the right people in terms not only of players, but in terms of staff who were able to implement that. So to implement the vision and philosophy, there's the management part of it, which goes back to our strategic intent of having the three pillars. We had to improve on our management infrastructure. We had to improve on our facilities, and we had to improve on our football, and we did that. And one of the interesting things about JDT, when I say it's comparable to a European club, we went to Valencia and did a thorough research, and we had a collaboration with them. And a part of that was that three of the coaches from the academy come to Johor and help us implement the philosophy of the way that we wanted to go about things. Great people, great guys. And then that was in 2016. We started that process with the Valencia, and the people that we brought over here from that time are still here. They're only supposed to be here for 1 year, loved it so much, really believed in the project, and we're a small club in Malaysia. Asia was able to not only forge great collaborations with big clubs like Borussia Dortmund and Valencia, among others, but we're also then they didn't want to go back. They wanted to stay here because they really believed in the vision of TMJ. They saw where it was heading. And that's the biggest thing about the club, is that TMJ is an incredible leader in terms of his vision, strategy. He knows the importance of getting good people. And everyone at the club has a clear, definite way of how they're going to be judged, and how we want to look in the future as a club. So when you started in 2013, not playing in any international tournaments and things like that, we then were able to get into the AFC Cup, win that, and then we're now in the process of our continued domination of Malaysian football. And then not only that, but we put a huge focus on our youth development, and we've got a number of players that are now breaking into the first team from that philosophy from the ground up.
Sounds very good, man. And I really like how you described that you built the club from the ground up, because I think very often when countries with a football culture that needs to be developed throw money at football, they try to buy, you know, players who've proved themselves, but that's never sustainable. So this seems to explain a lot why JDT is doing so well. So this 10th title, what does it mean to you?
TMJ is really the cornerstone of all this. I think it's really hard to explain, because TMJ is obviously a crown prince, but he has an amazing understanding of football. He really has a clear and concise way of knowing what to do and what things. So he's got some good people around him from a football background, from an academic background, and also from a club development background to ensure that we've got a sustainable project going through. But it's just incredible how, you know, when we first came up to it, we were going for the triple championship, and that was never happened in Malaysia, or it might have, I'm not too sure, but it never happened in Malaysia. We did that. And TMJ's next directive, or basically his next plan, was to not, it didn't go to, I want to win four. He goes, I want to do the double treble. And so we all looked at ourselves and said, yeah, fair enough. So we had the plan, we had the strategy, and okay, so this is what we're going to work towards. So from everyone throughout the club, from all the coaches that have been here, from all the support staff, from all the academy staff, they know that the objective from that day on was to go and win the treble, you know, the double treble. And so we worked hard at that. We improved the player recruiting. We strengthened our squads. We went on a worldwide search on players who have the heritage of one parent or thing. So we've got quite a few players that are from that, who have really strengthened our squad, who came in as mixed heritage players and now have been here for 5, 6, 7 years and contributing not only to the JDT football but to national football in Malaysia. So that part of it has been fantastic. But if you ask me right at the beginning, there was two things that, you know, actually it's more than two, but two of the main things that I was going, yeah, I think we can get the facilities right, because we have the backing, we have the sponsors, we know how the know-how. Anyone can put in a facility, a great stadium, great training facilities, look after the fields and everything else. TMJ is very particular in the details. So we were able to do that. To have the best management infrastructure and that, yeah, we could possibly do that. Right, because we have the ability to recruit people who are experts in football in terms of developing the club and sponsorship and stadium management and all that kind of thing. Those were the so-called easier parts. But to dominate Malaysian football and to play at the highest level, that was the biggest challenge. And so if you fast forward now, where, to be honest, a lot of people laughed at the suggestion that JDT is going to play in the Champions League, laughed at the thing that we are going to dominate football as much as we could, because they all thought that, like you mentioned earlier, someone comes in, some bright young prospect comes in and wants to start a club, and they don't concentrate on the right things, they don't really understand the concepts of having good people, having sustainability and things like that. So no one thought it was possible except for one person, and also the real inner circle of JDT. But looking back, when we had that first discussion way back in 2013, 2014, 2015, to say that we're going to win 10 championships in a row, playing in the Champions League, winning our group in the Champions League, and, you know, every year we've got improvement after improvement, you know, I'd think, yeah, looking back, it was like, that's going to be tough, but we did it.
Now, let's hear from a fan. What's it like to support Johor DT? Juan Budiman is a big fan of the club since its early days. I asked him what a match day is like at JDT. Here's Juan.
Oh, match day in Johor is always about very, very warm atmosphere. You know, you always, there's always friends, or even if you don't know people, there's always very friendly people. It's always, you know, we have a new stadium. was just launched in a couple of years ago, and it's a big stadium. It's a very modern stadium. It's you never seen like this in Malaysia. So you always have that feeling that whenever you enter the stadium, this is not Malaysia. You know what I mean? Like, okay, this is like from Europe or something that's definitely not Malaysia. It's cutting edge stadium. So there's always that good atmosphere. And this is actually the first stadium that is a football-specific stadium. So the atmosphere is off the chart, you know. So, and Johor has always been very dominating when it comes to football. There's a lot of goals. There's a lot of celebrations. There's good vibe. The boys of Straits, the biggest supporters of Johor, they're buzzing, man, every single game. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. What can you tell me about the boys of Straits, man? The fan section, the ultra section. What's their story?
Yeah, okay. So they're called Boys of Straits, and they started even before JDT started, you know. So there's like, they know the struggles, you know. They come when nobody come to the stadiums, you know what I mean? Like, so they were there since the beginning, and they were everywhere. Every time Johor plays at homes, every time Johor plays, even at away, they just took over almost everything. You know, they're just very buzzing. There are big crowds. They come from all over Johor, even all over Malaysia, and they go everywhere. Malaysia, Asia, everywhere, man. They're just really fanatics.
What are the biggest rivals of Johor?
Rivals? Well, Johor is... We never really see ourselves as having a rival. Everybody is a competitor to us. And since there's a lot of gaps in terms of football, we always say that JDT is JDT's own rival. You know, we don't really see other clubs as our rival. It's just never been an issue to us.
The 10th league title, what does it mean to you?
Well, league title for Johor is business as usual. So, you know, it's always since the beginning of the season, the expectation is always to win.
What do you hope for Johor in the future?
Well, when we first started, we always wanted to compete at the highest level. And that level is Asian Champions League. And we are the only club in Malaysia to compete in Asian Champions League since 2019. So that is a good achievement. And not only that, we've been showing quite a good progress, you know, as a club. I think the last season, we reached a round of 16. And we want to either maintain that or we want to be better than that. Domestically speaking, we want to win as much as possible. And we want to maintain winning with the brand of footballs that we are proud of.
That's the story of Johor DT, Malaysia's most successful football team. They built the club from the ground up, focusing on the youth, winning 10 leagues in a row. They now hope to achieve success in the Asian Champions League. We'll see if they'll succeed. Don't forget to check out all the other amazing content on the 433 app. Thank you for listening to this episode of the 433 podcast. On to the next one.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.